We are here with Jeff Potter from Cooking for Geeks. He is the author of a book for people who want to know why science, engineering, and cooking go hand in hand. Jeff, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, this is an interesting topic. It's an interesting crossover. Our audience, obviously, is very tech-oriented. They're very science-oriented. But you make the leap, the jump. You say, look, if you are a minded person for engineering and for science, you should have the same mind for cooking.
Absolutely. What happens in the kitchen is, my background is actually computer science,
okay.
Right?
Yes.
So, you know, computer science is, as most of the sciences are, about figuring out how something works and building a model in your head that says, hey, this thing works this way. You know, if I do this, then this will happen. And the same thing is true in the kitchen. If you understand how things work and why they work, when you walk into a kitchen, you can have something come out the way you want it to.
Now, that sounds like something that should be elementary. I mean, yeah, it totally makes sense. A recipe for cooking is the same thing as the procedures for coding or the instructions I follow when I'm building something or a procedure I might have as a chemist for making certain chemical changes. But we don't naturally make that. I mean, I know a lot of geeks whose idea of good food is a hot pocket that's not too hot.
So there's a magic force field around the kitchen that turns people's rational normal thinking process off and switches on the, I must exactly follow this recipe, step one, step two, step three. And so much of this book is about getting people to go, wait, no, you don't have to follow a recipe. Understand why it's working this way. Go in and like, don't just have a hot pocket for dinner or pizza or whatever. Like, figure out how to make a really awesome pizza or figure out how to make your own hot pocket without like just grabbing one from the freezer section and like hack it, tweak it, play with it, figure out how to adapt it. Like, why does it work? How can you make it more delicious?
I think that's the part that's off-putting. Because for a person who is scientific, mm-hmm. to always hear that cooking is an art, that for me, that kind of pulls me away. I'm thinking, well, I'm not artistically minded. I have no creative side that tells me what I should try, what different ingredients. And so I look at cooking as, no, that's for creative people.
That's for science people. It's both an art and a science. And the exciting part is to delve into the science. How much coding do you do? How much software do you get into? How much tech stuff do you get into? And like, there's art and there's science in creating software. So there's art and there's science in creating food. So, you know, you dig into the science of the food bit and then like the art will come later. But you have to figure out how to actually get, you know, the science part of it down so you can go in and begin to experiment. I mean, if you're going to start with technology and you don't know how to actually write basic code, it's really hard to actually come up and write like some new amazing app or something. But, you know, you get that base level figured out and then, hey, suddenly you can start experimenting. So there's not that much in the food stuff that you need to start with. But a few kind of basic things and you can go off and start experimenting and having tons of fun, actually.
All right, let's get into the science because our folks like to get their hands dirty. And maybe hopefully we've piqued their interest.
Literally dirty.
They're literally dirty. And they're thinking, okay, I can do this. I can do this. You did a segment with SciFry on eggs. And it was eye-opening for me. It's what made me and my producer want to interview you because it really is material science. Can you tell us a little bit about the science of a perfectly cooked, peelable egg?
Oh, Lordy, I think one can probably teach an entire course just on eggs alone. So let me ask, do you like to cook?
Yes.
Do you cook eggs?
I do.
How do you cook your eggs?
Typically, easy over.
Easy over. Okay, so what's happening when you crack that egg into the pan, you heat it up, at some point you flip it over and you put it on the plate? Like, what's actually happening to that egg in that process?
Well, I know that the whites will actually turn white. They'll harden as I apply more heat. So it goes from a gelatinous goop to something that's a bit firmer, and if I do it right, the yolk will stay mostly liquid. So that's about as far as my material science goes with eggs.
So this is kind of the magic model in my head. The magic model is what happens when you put cookie dough into the oven, like it magically turns into a cookie. What happens when you crack an egg into a pan is it magically turns white and kind of gets thicker. But that's the model that we talk about in the food world and kind of general society without getting into the science. But the better model here is to say, hey, that egg's got a bunch of proteins and fats in it. And when you heat those proteins up, they denature. They go from a native state that's all coiled up and kind of, well, you described it as, I think, gloppy and gelatinous.
Gloppy, yes.
Yeah, gloppy, right?
That's, I mean, ingredients.
And you said it turns white and becomes, it hardens. It actually doesn't harden. It just changes kind of from being one gel state to a tighter gel state that's, you know, still flexible, but, you know, changes in some aspects of the with respect to, like, how those proteins are actually structured. But, like, the actual thing that's happening there is as you heat those proteins up, they begin to denature. And an egg, your chicken egg, has a couple dozen different proteins, and those different proteins denature at different rates and at different temperatures.
Oh, okay.
So what you've got is you've got a couple dozen different proteins, and they start to go, say, 140 degrees up to, say, 170 degrees. Hand-waving numbers here, easier to remember. Different proteins set and begin to denature in that egg when you crack it in there. So your over-easy egg is about getting some of those proteins to harden, to use the word that you liked, and then to keep some of the other ones, a lot of the ones in the yolk actually, from actually denaturing and turning hard like a hard-cooked egg would have them. So that egg that you crack into that pan, it's really about the temperature that you're getting that egg itself up to. And how you heat that egg doesn't matter, although frying pan with some butter is probably the more delicious way. So yeah, there's a lot of different things you can like tease out there. But the real thing is like, hey, now you've got this model that says, hey, proteins denature at certain temperatures. You get those proteins up to that temperature, and how you do it doesn't really matter. And you're going to get a change in the texture based on those different things. So next time you go to cook an egg, you can think about, hey, what temperature do I need to hit? Somewhere in the 140 to 160 degree range, a little bit hotter. More of those proteins will denature, a little bit colder. You'll be a little bit runnier. And now you can like play with all the different variables. Like, how can I heat this?
I don't think I'll ever look at an egg the same way now. And that actually does make sense. I mean, there is some sort of chemical process that is taking place when I'm adding heat to the ingredients in my omelet. And it completely makes sense when you're saying, look, there's something's happening to the proteins. And if you understand what will happen to the different proteins at different temperatures, you can get really creative. Now, yes, it's not just sunny side up, boiled, or scrambled. You can say, hey, you know what? I wonder if I could just affect these proteins. How would I do that? That's the science coming into the cooking.
That's the science. And there are folks, there's a great food scientist in the UK, Cesar Vegas, who's done all the calculations for all the proteins specifically. He's got a website. You can go literally dial in what texture you want your yolk and your white to be. You can actually cook an egg so the white and the yolk are both kind of plastic like mayonnaise if you get them to exactly the right time and the right temperature. I mean, like, you can go so far down the rabbit hole that it's like, okay, now we're just getting super geeky and going to say, okay, can I simulate the protein denaturation and the rates and, you know, come up with like a calculator for exactly what texture you want.
Right.
Totally doable.
All right, let's move away from eggs because there is one other thing that I've heard that you were a part of. Cooking a 500-pound donut.
Guilty as charged.
Okay. Now, obviously, and our audience is savvy enough to know that cooking a 500-pound donut isn't the same as cooking a tiny little donut whole.
No.
There's a lot of science that goes into it. What happens when you scale up something like that?
Well, you get into really tough problems because heat transferring through something like donut batter, again, it's that model that we think of, oh, we heat it up and it magically turns to a cooked donut. No, it doesn't. As you heat something like donut batter up, it begins to set, and the rate of heat transfer through the batter actually changes as it changes into cooked donut. So you got little air pockets in there from
carbon
dioxide.
It insulates itself.
Yeah, it insulates, exactly. Yeah. So what happens if you need to get heat to the middle of something when it's now covered in 5 inches, 6 inches, 8 inches of insulated donut? I mean, it sounds crazy, but you get this problem where it's like, okay, I've got this 6 foot, you know, I have a 6 foot diameter torus with a wall that's like, you know, 2 feet at that point, if you're going for a nice Homer Simpson style donut. And like, that's just a tough material science challenge. I phoned in a couple of favors to figure out just like the heat rate transfers through that material. It turns out to be like literally college level, you know, quasi PhD level. Okay, so you've got a torus made of this material with this kind of heat transfer, and you're putting a million BTU of heat into it from burners on the bottom, and it's on top of a dumpster that's been sandblasted and then welded shut. I mean, it's stainless steel. Yeah, it's like the same thing as a wok. It's the same material, even though it's a dumpster. It's metal. Okay, that makes sense, you know? There's some tough science in there.
That's all pretty high-level thermodynamics.
It was actually above my pay grade.
Oh, wow.
I had to phone that one into some friends because, I mean, right. There's no textbook for this.
Yeah. Of course, people want to check out Cooking for Geeks. I mean, this is the source. If you want to start experimenting with food the same way you experiment with your maker, your DIY stuff, you're definitely going to want to pick this up. But I want you to leave our audience with some words of wisdom. If they are a geek and they're tired of microwave food and they're tired of just really basic stuff that they can cook and they're looking to get in to doing something a bit more creative, what bit of advice could you give them? What wisdom would you like them to walk away from this interview with to say, hey, you know what? I can do this.
I would say there's probably really two or three key things to understand in cooking. One, it's the temperature of the food itself that matters. If you put it into a really hot oven versus a kind of medium oven, The reactions in that food are based on the temperature that the food itself is at. So don't think about the temperature of the environment. Think about the temperature of the food. That's really important. The second is things like weight and temperature are easy to measure. Measure them. Use a good probe thermometer. Use a digital weight scale. Don't bake using measuring cups. Bake using a gram scale. If you've got an oven that you think's at 350, get a probe thermometer. Like when I cook fish, if I get some salmon and I cook it, I stick a probe thermometer into it and I set it to beep at 130 degrees. It's like a 2 or 3 foot long cable snakes out of the oven. Got a little device that goes beep, 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 beep when it hits 130. And like my salmon's done then. Like time is a proxy for temperature. So think about what you're measuring and measure it.
That's absolutely fantastic. Thank you so very much for sharing this with us. We've been speaking with Jeff Potter. He is the author of Cooking for Geeks. If you've ever wanted to do some delicious, delicious science, this is the book to get. Jeff, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
I'm Father Robert Ballas there, and now that you know how, go cook it.